Today on the Cameron Journal podcast, I am pleased to be joined by Alexander Arshavsky. He is the author of a new book called Work From Home Like a Pro: Hacks for Balancing Work, Life, and Profits. There's productivity strategies, there's all sorts of fun stuff in here. It's called an invaluable guide for aspiring entrepreneurs seeking to establish a successful consulting career from the comfort of their own home. And there's a roadmap stuff about work-life balance, financial stability, business growth, all this type of thing. So I imagine he has lots of experience in this area. I'm excited to see what we're going to learn. So welcome, Alexander, to the Cameron Journal podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for asking me.
Yes. So why don't we start from the beginning? Why don't you explain to us who you are, what the book is about, and what inspired you to write it?
Okay, so it's a long story.
That's
I'm
good. This
full
is a
stud.
podcast. This is the perfect place for long
Yeah.
stories.
Okay. So I'm a full stack web developer. I'm, actually doing anything related to web development, whether it's, sites, products, mobile applications, whatever it is. And I'm doing it for quite a long time, for around like 20 years, like 2 decades. And I did a long path. I started my career as a in quality assurance, like testing products. I worked at General Electric, computer tomography part of the company. And then I moved on into development position. I was a back-end developer, front-end developer in multiple companies. And after that I was a team lead also in multiple companies. I managed different teams, different size of companies, different industries, etc. And then I moved on to become a VP R&D, also in multiple positions. And after a while, I understood that I can go up the ladder in my career, but any farther that you go, you're just getting more responsibilities. But usually, the salary stays the same. You get more shiny titles, etc. But eventually,
But
you're
not
just
more
getting.
money.
Yeah, it's a money aspects too. What was also important for me, it's the work-life balance, because if you're working for some company as an employee, then it's kind of day-to-day routine. You waking up in the morning, you're like driving to the office or whatever agency, whatever your workplace is, and then you like work your 8, 9 hours, and come back from work in the same way. You're standing in the traffic, whenever, waste your time, and eventually, you have much less time to spend with your, with the family, with like, anything you want to do, like your private life. That was kind of one of the triggers that I started to thinking about, freelance and consulting and these kind of things. And that's what I started to do at some point. And like I did, every possible mistake I can make in terms of, freelancing and consulting. Because I quit my job as a VP R&D, my last position. And then I thought, okay, I will try and see how it goes. And then I said, okay, I will work the same way I worked before, like a full time for some company. I just will start working with invoices instead of salary. And you know, later on, I understood that it's not the way it's meant to be, because it's like missing a big point here, because there is a matter of you know, financial stability. And you know, later on, I understood that I should treat my freelance services like I treat my like a stock portfolio in my stock market. Like, the more small clients I have, the more like financially stable I am. So if I have like 5-6 clients that I'm working with simultaneously, it's not a problem for me if, I don't know, if I finish the project for one of my customers, I still have, you know, low impact on my income, and I can easily, you know, spend another half a year or a year finding another project, another customer, another you know, consultants, and so on. And then, you know, I also didn't know how should I, you know, what my price tag. So I started with you know, with some number which eventually I understood was really, really, really low. You know, I keep raising it from project to project, from one customer to another, till I get to a point where I somehow understand the market, understand the price of my services, of my knowledge, experience, etc. You know, and I was like, continue making like another mistakes, like I saw that there are some customers that I can easily work with, and other that I don't. And then I understood that I should treat myself as a company. So I should have all the things the big company or a small one have, which is I have to have my value or values. And I should define what is my target market, because not every customer is a good fit for my values. And then I need to have my, you know, lead generation funnel, and I should have my marketing in place, and I should have my online presence, and I should also, you know, invest some of my time into these things. As well as my networking, I should like develop my networking, contacting other people from other areas. Maybe, you know, not developers like myself, but some people that I can collaborate with, like web designers and product managers and things like that. So eventually, you know, I'm doing freelance for like around a decade now, and like following all these like mistakes that I did, like now I see that there is a huge gap in terms of you know, in terms of mindset, like freelance mindset, working from home mindset, because it's really, you know, different world from, you know, working 8 to 4 or 8 to 5 from the office. The book is about you know, all the tips and all the experience that I gathered from all these years, like, you know, things that I would like to share with the world, with freelancer contractors, people working from home that are, you know, similar to what I do. It doesn't have to be like developers. It can be, you know, any person that doing any, you know, freelance, private business, entrepreneurship, whatever, but is doing it from home, and he does care about you know, his work life balance, and
let's dig into some of that. So what is the biggest thing that people should consider if they're wanting to make that leap out of corporate 8 to 5 into consulting and freelancing and working on their own? What's the biggest consideration you think people should think about?
Like I mentioned, I think that the biggest thing it's changing the mindset, because even in my industry, I see a lot of people which are really really experienced in what they do. They are really good developers or really good product managers. But they are really focusing only on this professional side of things. So it's a little bit thinking maybe out of the box, and it's just like working from home as a freelancer. It's pretty much in the other side of the spectrum in terms of mindset. From working from the office, in terms of in terms of your income, in terms of how your day looks like, how you prioritize things, how you manage your time. Okay, because in when you work from the office, you're rarely thinking about the things, because you have your task. You come in the morning and you just go on with them usually, and maybe someone prioritized them for you, and maybe someone defined them for you, and maybe someone is talking with the customer for you, and you have only your part, your technical part of the job, whether you, I don't know, you're a developer, you're a photographer, whatever you do. So it's, I would say it's mainly about changing this mindset and understand that you should, it's a long run, and it's an ongoing process where you improve over the time, and you should take into consideration that you should take some amount of time into spend into developing your business, and find a new way, new procedures, new tools. And so on. So
Yeah, so what let tell us, what was it when you did made that leap, what was your first, day like? What was your first month like? What surprised you about it when you finally made that leap yourself?
like I said, I had to learn I had to learn many things by myself, because my networking and the people I knew and I talked with were mainly technical people like myself. So I didn't have any friends in my field that were doing some freelance or doing some consulting services. So I didn't have much, people to ask my question. So, every step that I took, it was just, learning, learning all the obstacles that I met, and understanding how I tackle. And I my first days, and even my first months. Looked pretty the same, because I started working just with invoices, but it was kind of still full-time job at some companies. But I soon understand that if I'm a freelancer, even if I'm working full-time, then it's much smaller period of time in each company than an employee, because it's like hourly rate, and it's usually company paying to you more than a regular employee. So and yeah, it's usually limited time project, because you're replacing someone, because it's someone that it's hard to find, and they're looking for some kind of expertise for a limited project for a limited time, and so on. And yeah.
Yeah, so in terms of Let's kind of go soup to nuts here. So, in terms of like finding new clients and whatnot, how is like that's a huge challenge. What is some of your how what have some of your struggles have been, and what are your tips and tricks to keeping consistent business flowing in?
In terms of networking, it was also, trial and error. In the beginning, it was all about, talking to my friends, talking to my, my close networking circle, and friends that know friends that work in some company that can talk to some executives in the company and ask if they need help with something, with some projects, etc. And later on, I understood that I need to define my values and my target market. And after I did that, my networking was a little different because it was kind of, cold emails and reaching, specific people in LinkedIn, because I realized that I shouldn't talk to everyone. I should just, target executives in the specific companies that match my target market. Nowadays I intentionally spend, I think, 10, 20% of my time for my networking. I'm doing it actively, and it's all about like meeting with people, whether it's physically or on Zoom or whatever, and just drinking coffee. And sometimes, it's people that you don't have something to offer for them, and they can be from really different, area and expertise. But just, since you're expanding your network, eventually, when you hit some project and you need to do some collaboration with people, and you need additional resources, and you need some other stuff, then it's easier to do this, match and find for the right one. So that's
So a big hot topic right now is work-life balance. That's something that like everyone is trying to get done, all this type of thing. I have been freelancing consulting for forever and ever, and I've also worked jobs. I find I have less work-life balance when I'm working on my own and consulting. How has that worked out for you? And this is particularly
even
poignant because
before,
I see in his background pictures of small children. So this will be very good to find out.
yeah, so today I'm married. I have three boys.
Oh my
They're at the
goodness.
age, eight, six, and two.
Oh,
So
busy household, busy household.
yeah, it's a little challenging, yeah, but even before I started my freelance career, I was really into all this, project management and methodologies and all the, agile procedures and etc. And at some point, I really get used to the idea that I should have some board with all my tasks lined up, which should be prioritized, and kind of, everything, every project, every task that I get, it should immediately go into that list, and that list should stay prioritized, along the day. That's just, one of the tools I use, that I find really effective, because as a freelancer, nowadays I can have, five, six clients, that I work with each one of them during the same day. So I have like a lot of, context switches, which, brought me to a point when I understood that I should have all my clients, all my tasks get arranged in a single board, in a single view. So, you know, I wake up in the morning and I don't think, what should I start with? Because, you know, wasting my time just to, just to choose which one of these six clients I should start with, it's a lot of wasting of time for me. When you get used to it, over the time, I understood that this list should hold everything. You know, it can hold really my, you know, my family stuff and even the things that are not related to my work. You know, it can be scheduled in a calendar. It can be a to-do list. It can be, you know, a whiteboard that I have right now. But you know, I wake up every morning and I make sure that my list is prioritized, and I'm working like I'm going top down. I know that, you know, at the evening I have to, you know, to bath the kids, and I have to, you know, to read some story before the sleep for them, and it's kind of part of my, you know, day-to-day schedule. So I know that I can work with some clients, and then I have my time with the kid, and then I go and working with another client, and then I'm doing another break, you know, for the family, for I don't know what. So that's kind of my routine.
No, I think that's so important to six. I think people don't understand, like, when you're working for yourself, the I'm gonna put the kids down and then go work for a couple more hours is a real reality. That's definitely a thing. Especially if, as I do, you work internationally, sometimes you need to catch somebody at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And so sometimes it's nice to put the kids down, stay up for a little bit, get some work done, take that call, and then go to bed yourself. So that's a side I don't think people see. So how was, in terms of working from home, were you working from home before the pandemic, or did the pandemic kick that off for you?
No, I worked even before, you know, like I said, it's around a decade now that I'm doing a
Oh,
freelance,
that's
but
right. You did say that, yeah.
I work, you know, I worked as a freelance only. I had times when I worked in my full-time job and I did some freelance in parallel. I also had a time when I had my own startup, and I also had a full-time job and I also had freelance, of course with a, you know, less amount of customers, but still. So I had, you know, different constellations. But yeah, I'm you know, working from home for a long time now.
Yeah, so how did the pandemic, and kind of having, like, everyone at home, that you're working with at home, how did that change things for you?
It didn't change much for me because I mean, as a web developer, I always worked in distributed teams, even if I, you know, worked from the office from Israel, still have my Zoom and I still have my contacting other people, so, you know, switching to work from home only wasn't so drastic for me. Another thing is that I'm a little introvert myself, so you know, I'm kind of enjoyed it. So,
Yeah.
but in
No,
terms
I
of
understand that.
my
It was, I frankly enjoyed going to, Zoom parties and things. I'm like, finally, the socialization has come to me. My time has happened. Like, it's so, yeah, no, that's good. Did your country have heavy lockdown, or was it lighter?
We had, I mean, I spent almost 2.5 years, you know, like working from home, like totally from home without going, you know, anywhere, besides maybe a couple of times.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. No, that's very cool. So you've done all this and you've worked remotely and you've had all these experiences. So what got you to sit down and write a book about it? What was that process like?
Yeah, it was, it was many
Because
factors.
a lot of people will talk about writing a book but never actually write one. You've managed to write it and now you're here. So tell us a little bit about your writing process and how you kind of went from a, oh, maybe I should write this down to holding a book in your hand.
Yeah, so it was multiple triggers, I guess. One of them, just read about people that wrote books and wrote stories about what they're doing. Another trigger was a book that I read. It's called The Rework. I don't know if you know it, by David Hanson and Jason Fried. It's a management tips book. It was published somewhere around 2010, I guess, and it became really like New York Times bestseller or whatever. These two guys, they develop Basecamp, which is project management tool. Back then, now you have many of them. They are like talking about their work and the tips that they can give. And it's kind of, they give a lot of tips along the book, and every tip they give an example from other people from other industries, and they explain like why it's working like that. And one of the tips that catch my eye and was they said that you can have some side business that it's not related to your main activity, but it's even eventually it can be even more successful than your main business. And they gave some examples, for example, for in many famous restaurants and famous people that sharing their recipes, for example, and sharing their recipes in some some blogs or whatever with their readers. It's kind of not related to their main business of restaurants or whatever, but it's kind of getting your customers like insights on on the work you do, like behind the scenes, and some of them also shoot some videos and doing some other stuff to show the customer how it looks like to do what they do in a daily basis. So that kind of was like triggers for me. At some point I decided, okay, I walked this path of making mistakes and finding my way, that maybe I can share my my knowledge and my experience, and maybe save a little time for other freelancers out there that I guess I'm not the only one who's tackling these problems.
Yeah.
So
What was the
yeah,
hardest
that
part about
was
writing the book?
it was kind of a first time for me, so it was basically to connect all the pieces together, because it's kind of like different tips and different strategies and different stuff, which eventually should be connected in one story, in one connected story. I started with outline my chapters, and then break it down to the smaller pieces, And then it was, a long road, to find the right words to connect them together, and to make it work at the whole piece.
Yeah, no, that's quite important. So why don't you give us a couple points from the book? What are the main three or four takeaways we would have after reading your book?
It's kind of I try to to make the book not tied to the things I do. So I really think every entrepreneur and every freelancer can find some interesting topics and things to think about them. But we covered, many many issues, like all the time management, and the prioritizing on tasks, and how to do your networking, how to find your customers, how to treat yourself as a business. Yeah, so how to define your values, like why someone would pick you and not someone else. How you keep this value and you stick to it from customer to customer, how you define your target market, how you know that it's the right one for you, or it's a balance between all these aspects and how to do them effectively as you go. So
yeah, no, that's no, I definitely get that. What would you say after 10 years of doing this, what would you say is the thing that still challenges you the most?
I guess it's still the context switching. It's still the balancing. Because it can be really, really changing, like from today to tomorrow. Because one day you can have three customers, which will take 40% of your time, and you spend 60% of your business development, networking, or whatever else you do. And the day after, you suddenly have another two clients, another three clients, and in a matter of few days, you need to change all your schedule, and all the maybe meetings that you scheduled for the next 2-3 weeks. You need to rearrange it once again, and you need to do it fast, and you need to look at your schedule, to look at your to-do list, and start prioritizing things differently. These drastic changes, it's the ones that I still didn't get used to it, but I hope I'm improving. Yeah.
I have a similar thing. It's very feast and famine. I still struggle with the getting in enough business, because it seems like I've either got 10 people who want to work with me or none. There is no in between. And so that's definitely an area where I'm still on the struggle bus. So, and yes, in fact, today a new potential client is coming on, and I have a call right after this recording that I did not was on the calendar this morning that was scheduled today. So I am living proof that this is how it goes. So absolutely. Absolutely. So excellent. Well, we've come to the part of the show where we do plugs. So why don't you tell us where we can buy your book online, where to keep in touch with you, and how people can engage?
So you can purchase my book on Amazon. I guess it's really simple. You can just look for my name or the name of the book.
The title and everything will be in the show notes as well. So anything on social media, LinkedIn, you want to mention anything like that?
Yeah, I have my website, which is almaswebconsulting.com. I have my LinkedIn, my Facebook, and you know, as a freelance, I have my you know, my online presence, so I'm on all the, you know, possible freelance networks and platforms, you know, like Upwork, Fiverr, whatever. Yeah, so.
All right. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on the Cameron Journal podcast.
Yeah, thank you a lot.
That's all for this episode of the Cameron Journal podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Visit us online at CameronJournal.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I love to talk to my followers and listeners, so please feel free to get us on social media at Cameron Cowan on Twitter. And we'll see you next time on the Cameron Journal podcast.